Let's go to John 3. Jump right in. Verse 16 and 17, Passion Translation. For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and to rescue it. You know, I like that part. Now, as I've been talking with you, one of the things we have to realize about our healing is that God's word is absolutely true, and it has never failed. Say, God's word has never failed. And say, it's not going to start with me. Amen. I say that to one of my relatives all the time. I said, God's not going to start failure with you. Okay. And every word, you know, that God says is absolutely so. And his word, Brother Hagin refers to his word as a never-failing remedy for us, for everything. It's a never-failing remedy. And when I thought about that, you know, because, of course, I've been reading this for some time, but then I started thinking about the word remedy. I said, all right, God's word is a never-failing remedy. Okay, that sounds good. What does that mean? I mean, that's okay, good. It's a remedy. What does it mean? Well, you know what I did. I looked it up. And I found that remedy is what I call a twofold word. It's a noun and it's a verb. And what got me excited about that, because that's telling me that God's word says something and it does something. I mean, that's what it is. It says something and it does something. Now, as a noun, a remedy is something that cures, something that relieves a disease or bodily disorder. A remedy could be a healing medicine or application or a treatment. It's a remedy. God's word is a never-failing cure. It's a never-failing healing medicine. It's a never-failing application. It's a never-failing treatment. It never fails to correct or remove any kind of evil. This is from the dictionary. Something that corrects or removes an evil of any kind is a remedy. Now, as a verb, remedy means to cure, to relieve, to heal. Now listen to this one. To restore to the natural or proper condition. God's word restores us to our natural and proper condition. It puts things right. And I particularly like this last one also. God's word counteracts or removes. So that means whatever the devil comes with, we have a remedy, the word of God. And that remedy never, ever fails. Never. That becomes so important because, and we're going to talk a little more about that when we look at Scripture and Proverbs, but especially today, there's so many things that have come up that they say that, well, there's no cure. There's no cure for this. God's word is a never-failing remedy. So if it's a never-failing remedy, that means there isn't anything that it can't cure. There isn't anything that it can't correct. There isn't anything that it can't reverse. So we should get it. When we hear those kinds of statements, you know, coming from doctors, it's not that they're telling you a lie. They're telling you what they know. They're telling you from the manner in which they were trained. God expects us to respond in the manner by which we were trained. Okay? And we say, I appreciate your diagnosis, but I have something that they don't teach you in medical school. God's word is a never-failing remedy. Never-failing. And we have to understand that. Say that again. God's word is a never-failing remedy. Okay, now go to Proverbs 4. Read this in the King James, and I'm going to read it in the Passion. King James, it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. You could say their life to those that can uncover them. And their health to all their flesh. The Passion Translation says, listen carefully, my dear child, to everything that I teach you, and pay attention to all that I have to say. I did a chapel one time back in the 90s at LCA, and the topic was called Failure is Not an Option. And I did some research on why people fail. The number one reason back then, the number one reason that people failed, not paying attention. The number one. It tells us, pay attention. He's saying, pay attention to everything that I teach you. Pay attention. We talked a little bit about distractions and how different things come to distract you when you wind up on the wayside because you got distracted and you lost your place. You wandered off. We have to pay attention. When God speaks, we have to zero in, blot out any distractions, and pay attention. He says, fill your thoughts with my words. This is verse 21 in the Passion Translation. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. As you unwrap them, as you get understanding, as you get the revelation of them, they'll start imparting radiant health. Now the King James says health to all our flesh. That's a good reason to shout right there. Why don't you take a shout? It's a good reason to it. Okay. You can shout again when I tell you why. Because it's what I was telling you before. That's telling us that there's no part of our body that the Word of God can't heal. There's no part. I don't care what it is. It says that the Word of God is health to all of our flesh. So every single part of our body can be healed by the Word of God. Period. Period. So shout again. Yes. Okay. So you know what that means, folks? If it can happen, it can be healed. It's just that simple. If it can be diagnosed, it can be healed. If they give it a name, it can be healed. If they don't give it a name, it can be healed. Because if they don't give it a name, it has a name. No name. Okay. Whatever it is, it can be healed. It's health to all our flesh. But there's some other translations of the word health that's used in verse 22. And one of them is medicine. And it's not that I'm pushing medicine. I'm just telling you that God's word is medicine to all our flesh. And another reason I'm sharing is that there is a critical principle that goes along with that. Because if doctor gives you medicine, okay, if he gives you medicine, and I take the medicine, and I just put it there, and I don't ingest it, or I don't take it and squeeze it and apply it, it's useless to me. It's useless. I have it, bought and paid for. It's mine. But if I don't do anything, if I don't do the right thing with it, which means if I don't take it, if I don't apply it, it'll be powerless to me, even though there's nothing more powerful. But I have to do something once I get it. And what I have to do, I have to take the time, open it up. It's okay, it's candy. Okay. And just take it. Just want you to know I'm not just popping pills. It's this is hand cream, okay? If I don't, I'll have ashy skin if I don't apply it. They say you need some ghost chaser, and I go and buy some and just leave it in the cabinet. I remember once, this was really funny. There was this basketball player, he was a rookie, and he came out for his first game. Had one of those wild haircuts, these little short socks, ashiest legs you ever want to see. And Charles Barkley said, somebody ought to teach him to use some lotion. He probably had it in his bag, but it was no good for him because he didn't apply it. We have the word. There is nothing more powerful than the word of God. But if we don't apply it, it's useless. So we have to apply. We have to ingest. It belongs to us. But if we don't take it in, we'll never receive what it was designed to do. And it was designed to heal, to correct, to reverse, to restore. God's word was designed to do all of those things, but it must be taken in, it must be applied. There's nothing out there more powerful, but if we don't take it in, if we don't apply it, it will do nothing for us. So the question becomes, okay, how do we take God's medicine? How do we ingest it? How do we apply it? And that's a very good question. Not insulting your intelligence, but I'm going to give you an extremely simple answer. You do exactly what it says. Period. That's how you take it. God said it, you do it. That's it. That's how you take it in. You apply the word of God. If God's word says forgive, you forgive according to God's definition. I heard a new, well, it's new to me, but I heard a new definition. I was watching a program. They were interviewing Pastor Rick Renner, and they were talking about forgiveness. And he said, did you know that the Greek word and the right tense for the words forgive, when Jesus talks about forgiving, means let it go? But he also said something else. It says it means you forfeit the right to ever bring it up again. That's what forgive. I was sitting there, I was like, whoa. Okay. I need to improve my forgiver. Because I forgive, but a situation may happen and I want to bring it up again. I hadn't forgiven. Because since it means that I forfeit my right to ever bring it up, then that means I can never, ever, I can't even bring it up in my thoughts. If it tries to come up, I need to cast it down. Why is that important? Unforgiveness can prevent ingesting God's word. And if I'm not ingesting it, then I'm not taking the medicine. And it won't benefit me. You said, for not forgiving? Yes. That's part of God's word. See, it doesn't say, and here's where one of the mistakes we make. It doesn't say there are particular scriptures in God's words that will heal. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say there's some scriptures that are medicine. It says God's word is medicine. What word? All of it. So what do I have to do? All of it. If I want to be healed. And if I want to stay healthy. It's amazing to my internist and my cardiologist. They're really having a hard time with this. And they're trying to find a medical reason for it, but there is none, and I told them that. Every time I minister, especially on Sundays, I probably spend more time in the Word preparing for Sundays than any other time. I'm just totally immersed, which always caused me to wonder, why don't I do this every day? I have to take less medication on Sundays. Because if I take full medication, my blood pressure drops to, it was as low as 78 over 52. Right. That's why sometimes you'd come out there and I'd be sitting down. That's why. That's why. Monday morning, it's not like that. Sunday morning, after I finish ministering, my blood pressure is. And they're saying, well, you know, you're on your feet a lot. And, you know, they talk about your veins and blood. I said, I'm on my feet a lot other times. And that doesn't happen. I said, it's the time spent in the Word. First, you're reading the Word, then you're taking it in, then you're learning how to discern the Word and finding out how God wants you to share the Word. Then you go about sharing the Word, and all that time you're just thinking about the Word and meditating on the Word and not realizing that it's taking care of things in your body. And all the docs say, said, all we can tell you to do is just keep doing what you're doing. Because they start out, no, you have to take the same dosage every day. I said, I can't. I said, I can't get too much lower than that. But it's medicine to all my flesh if I do exactly what it says. And it says in Proverbs 4:20, my son, the first thing it says, attend to my words. And attendance is another way of saying pay attention. Pay attention to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Listen to everything that I have to say. Pay close attention to it. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Stay focused. Stay focused on what I'm saying. Stay focused on what I've told you to do. Don't lose your focus. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Let my words become the abundance of your heart. Because out of the abundance of your heart, what will happen? Your mouth will speak. If I'm keeping his words in the midst of my heart, I am guarding my heart. And since out of my heart will come the issues of life, and I'm guarding my heart, and my heart is filled with God's word, then anytime an issue of life comes, God's word is going to come out. Just like when I squeeze this, Bert's hand cream will come out, because that's what was put in. And no matter what happens, as long as it's in there, it's coming out. Period. As long as the word is in you, and it's not obstructed, because see, it could be in here, And I can allow a hardness to come and get around the top when you squeeze it, nothing comes out. We have to guard against that. We have to see what happens is stuff will come and try and sear your heart. And when it first comes, it's painful. But if you keep doing it little by little, now you develop a tolerance. Now it's not painful anymore. You just keep doing it. You don't care. You keep doing it. You have no more feelings. You've killed your emotions and your compassion. And we can't allow that to happen when it comes to the Word. We have to stay on fire for the Word, with the Word, and by the Word. We have to. The other thing that happens, because, see, it's a continual action. Taking in the Word of God, it has to be a continual action. But it doesn't say read the Scriptures once and then you're finished. You got it all. Just like if I read this label, it says take one tablet every day. Doesn't say take one tablet every day if you feel like it. It doesn't say take one tablet every day if you have time. It doesn't say take one tablet every day unless you're feeling good. Then don't take it again until you start feeling bad. It says take one tablet every day. So if I want the benefit of this medication, guess what I have to do? Take one tablet every day, or you could say take it as directed. Period. It's a continual action. Just think about it. You have a condition. I have the medicine. I take the medicine as directed. The condition goes away. I'm feeling fine. 2 years later, I go to the doctor. He gives the same condition, gives me the same medication. I'm like, I took that 2 years ago. I don't need that. I know about that. I don't need it anymore. And then I wonder why I start feeling worse and worse and worse. I have the answer, but I already heard that. We're like that with the Word. The Word says, I know what the Word says. You don't look like you know, but that's what you say. No, but the Word says this. The Word says that. I heard that already. No, you have to take it again. But I took it 2 years ago. That's right. It's probably 2 years too late. You need to be taking it every day. Well, I was feeling okay. That doesn't say take it when you feel like it. God told Joshua, you want to be successful? Meditate in the Word day and night, observing to do all, not some of, not most of, observing to do all that's written. Then you'll have the good success. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Yeah, you can do it your way, and you won't be prosperous, and you won't be successful, and you'll be sick and sickly. Having all the more than enough power to handle any situation at your fingertips and just refusing to take it because I already know that. I mean, my doctor takes medicines. He knows all about them, but he prescribes them. We read the Word. We may even have memorized the Word. And we think because we've read it and memorized it, that's enough. No, it's not. You need to read it some more. You need to think about it some more. There's scriptures that I've read, and I'll go and read it again. And I never, ever read a scripture and read over it because I know what it says. I read the entire scripture like it's the first time I ever saw it. And often I see something different. I see something different. And I'm like, I'm glad I didn't dismiss the scripture. I'm glad that I know that I'm supposed to meditate on it day and night. Doesn't say meditate on that scripture. Okay, you got it. Good. Now go to another scripture and meditate on that one. You have to keep on all of them. I've told you this before. I don't just read for the purpose of reading. I don't read just to say, well, I read my Bible every day. I'm a purposeful reader. I'm reading because I want to get something. I want an understanding. I want a revelation. And I'm going to keep reading until I get one. And then I may stop because I'll start thinking about the revelation and how to operate in it. And then I'll start reading some more. But the thing is, the point is, we don't want to dismiss the word just because we've heard it before. It's like, you know, with Brother Hagin when he was talking about faith, people say, oh, we're talking about faith again? Like you know everything there is to know about faith. So I know it all. Oh, really? Let's look at your bank account. Let's do a physical. Do you really have it all? We have to be honest with ourselves. I may have heard it before, but I need to hear it again. Because God's word will always correct, remove, cure, relieve, heal, restore, and that's what I want. There's another aspect of it that underscores everything we've talked about to that point. Go to 1 John 5, please. First John 5, verse 4. This is the Passion Translation. Reads, you see, every child of God overcomes the world. Every child of God. For our faith is the victorious power that triumph over the world. See, so the power that activates the power of God's word is our faith. The power that activates the power of God's word is our faith. So as powerful as God's word is, even though God's word is a never-failing remedy for anything, if we don't have faith to activate it, we'll never experience the benefit of it. Never. Matthew 8 is a biblical account that I've read on any number of times. And I read it today, and I saw some things in it that were different. When Jesus was entering, starting at verse 5 in Matthew 8, when Jesus was entering into Capernaum or Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. The first thing that I was noticing, well, actually, what I just noticed standing up here and reading it is that it says the servant was healed in the selfsame hour. I'm like, why do you think the servant was healed right at that moment? What was that? What did the centurion say? He said, just speak the word only. And he didn't say, and eventually my servant will be healed. He said, speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Jesus spoke the word, and what happened? The servant was instantly healed. And Jesus called the faith exhibited by the centurion great. And the question is, was he talking about size or was he talking about something else? And that's an important question because people can get stuck with that. Well, let me show you what Brother Hagin wrote. Brother Hagin wrote, the answer is found in verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. Great faith is simply faith in God's word. It's taking God at his word. That's all it means. The reason, well, let me read it in the Message Bible. Jesus entered the village of Capernaum, and a Roman captain came up in a panic and said, Master, my servant is sick. He can't walk. He's in terrible pain. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. Now, one of the things I noticed about this is that the Message Bible says he came in a panic. But when Jesus said, I'll come and heal him, he seemed to calm down. Because he didn't say, yes, no, come, you got to come right now. He was like, oh, no. No, no, no. I don't want to put you to all that trouble. Just give the order. Just give the order. I'm in a panic. My servant is being tormented, and I'm in panic mode. But I understand who I'm talking to. So I'm like, no, just give the word. It's nice that you want to come. Just give the word, and he'll be healed. Why go through all it? I don't know. It doesn't say how much time it would have taken Jesus to get from there to where the servant was. But all that time, he would have still been in pain and agony. So just give the word. He said, I don't want to put you to all that trouble. Just give the order, and my son will be fine. He said, I'm a man who takes orders and gives orders. I tell one soldier, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes. To my slave, do this, and he does it. Now, Jesus did not expect that kind of response. And I know that by what it says in verse 12. It says, taken aback, Jesus said. You could say, being surprised by that comment, Jesus said, I have yet to come across this kind of simple trust in Israel. And this is the key part, folks. He says, the very people who are supposed to know all about God and how he works. So he said, great faith was a comparative. He was comparing it to no faith. Okay. And I use this comparison. If the New England Patriots played any other pro football team and won or lost, let's say the Giants beat the Patriots, we wouldn't necessarily consider that a great victory. But if the New England Patriots played Nanuet High School and Nanuet High School beat them, we would say, that's a great victory. Because it's something that you just wouldn't have ever expected would happen. It happened, and we say, that's great. Or something happens that excites us. You go and you look at the table, think, and you say, oh, man, this is great. You're right. It's not that the table got this, just grew this huge size, this difference. But no, compared to the lack of faith that Jesus saw in Israel, what the centurion had, that was great. But all he had was simple faith. That's what Brother Hagin wrote. Just simple. He just took Jesus at his word. And that's all he expects us to do to get everything that he said he would give. Just take him at his word. How do you do that? You act like you believe what he said. How do you do that? By doing something. That's what the centurion did. He did something. He went up to Jesus as a non-Jew. Went up to Jesus. Anyway. Obviously, he had to know something. You got to hear this in the Passion Translation. When Jesus responded, "I will go with you and heal him," the Roman officer injected, "Lord, who am I to have you come into my house? I understand your authority, for I too am a man who walks under authority and have authority over soldiers who serve under me. I can tell one to go and he'll go, and another to come and he'll come. I order my servants and they do whatever I ask. So I know that all, here's what it is, I know that all you need to do is stand here and command." That's all I need you to do. Stand here and command healing over my son, and he will be instantly healed. Amen. That's what this Roman, who was not an Israelite. Now I'm thinking, how did he get to that place? How did he get to the place where he had all of this faith in Jesus? He was in Hebrew. They didn't walk in the same circles. They didn't worship in the same place. How did he know? Well, the only answer that I could come up with is Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Passion Translation puts it in a manner where I usually don't go. It gives a really deep translation. It says, "Faith then is birth in the heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the anointed one." In other words, in plain English, what God says about Jesus responded to produces faith. When you hear what God says about Jesus and act on it, faith comes out. That's the not so deep version. But I just like the way it sounds. Faith is birthed in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the anointed one. So that lets me know, the Bible doesn't say so, but since it does say that faith comes by hearing, somewhere along the line, that centurion had to be spending time hearing about Jesus. He had to be spending some time in some part of the Word of God. Had to. How would he know? How would he know to the point where he would go break protocol, really, because he's a Roman, going to an Israelite for help? The Bible doesn't talk with the woman of issue of blood. It said she went to many physicians and spent all she had. Doesn't say that about the centurion. Doesn't say the centurion checked with all the Roman doctors. They couldn't do anything, so he said, "Well, let me try the Jesus route." No, obviously he had to have been reading, meditating, studying who this person they call Jesus is, and learning about the authority that he has. And he believed it. And he said, "My servant or my son," I didn't study to see if it was a servant or a son, but usually sons are servants, so either one is fine. But my servant is grievously tormented. I can't let him stay like that. I have to do something. Who can help him? Jesus. Somebody find out where Jesus is. I'm going. and then tell him, no, you don't have to come. Stay right here and give the command. Stay here, give the command. Why are we running all over the place for Mr. or Miss Super Saint to lay hands on us? When your mouth can give the command, when you have the same authority to give the command, but you have to give that command from the same place of faith, doubting nothing. There's no indication in any translation that I read of that account where that centurion showed the slightest amount of doubt. He was confident. He was sure. Because first of all, if he wasn't sure, he would have let yet give. Please come. You have to put your hands on him. No, it wasn't necessary. Stay here. Give the command. It'll be done. I understand authority. We have to understand that we have to have the same type of understanding of authority, folks. Because we've been given his word. And we have a responsibility to attend to his word, just like it tells us in Proverbs 4. Pay attention to it. Keep it in the midst of our eyes. Keep it in the midst of our heart. When? Always. Why? It's life. And it's health and healing. It's medicine. It's a remedy. But we have to take it in. We have to apply it. Yes, it's powerful. There is nothing. I know I said this a lot, and I'm going to keep saying it. There is nothing more powerful than the word of God. Even God said he exalts his word above his name. Even God said that. So God, who is the most powerful, said that he puts his name, his word above his name. And he gave his word to us. And all we have to do is take it in. All we have to do is meditate in it day and night, observing to do all that's written in it. That's all we have to do. God's taken care of everything else. And I don't care what it is. Every time I stand up and talk about God's word, I feel better. Every time. It doesn't matter. You walk into the meeting, you know, and your head is telling you you have a headache. Next thing you know, the meeting's over. You're on your way home. It's like, hey, headache's gone. Why? Because I treat it as a distraction. It's trying to distract me from hearing from God. That's why I don't say things like my head is killing me. On my head, it hurts so badly I can barely think or I can't see. I don't say those things because I'm not going to have them. The most that I would do is I might put on some dark glasses because it becomes light sensitive. So I'll put on dark glasses and keep functioning. And next thing I know, I'm like, why am I walking around indoors with glasses on? And I just take them off. You know. But I'm not saying things. I'm not going to walk around saying I'm sick or sickly or this hurts. Or that. I'm not doing that anymore. Because I found out something. You know what I found out? When I attend to the word, it's health to all my flesh. Period. And it also may help me understand why sickness comes. To keep me from attending to the word. Yes, it also comes because we eat the wrong things and, you know, maybe too sedentary. It's funny because last Friday, we had two of our grandchildren, you know, from Friday through Sunday morning. We were going to Pennsylvania, so their parents came early Sunday morning to get them. And earlier in the day, my blood pressure was not as low as I wanted it to be. And I didn't, you know, it's one of those days where for some reason my doctor just called me. How you doing? I'm doing fine. Why? Really, what were your numbers this week? And I told him, well, when was the last reading? And I'm like, what difference does it make? I said, no, the last reading was high. I said, but something interesting happened. I said, I didn't get anxious about it. He said, what did you do? I said, I went home and I played a game of Wii Golf with my grandchildren. And then I sat down after that and I took another blood pressure reading. He said, what was that? I said, 115 over 77. He said, nothing like a good round of golf. I said, no, I've learned not to get anxious about these things, because they just come to distract. You know, and we're not talking about numbers that were astronomical, but even if they were astronomical, I'm still not getting anxious about it, because I got a revelation. The word says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds, how? In faith. So I'm practicing that. I'm not going to be anxious about anything. Because all anxiety does. See, what happens is the devil will come with something. You'll take a blood pressure reading. Okay, it'll be a little elevated. You get excited about it, then it spikes. And you don't know what's going on. You sent it up. You got excited. That's why doctors will tell you, don't stop taking readings at home. You get yourself worked up. I remember a time, you know, when I first started dealing with this, that 5-6 times a day, I'm taking a reading. I'm like, why is this going up? And then you go to the emergency room, and it's amazing the things the devil have you focus on. I noticed that when they put the automatic cuff on you, one time it tried to pump up, it stopped, and it did it again, and it was a high number. So now they put it on, and I'm like, okay, only pump once, only pump once, only pump once. What do you think that does? It makes it go higher. Got to the point that put it on. What it said, do you want to know what it is? No, doesn't matter. My confession is going to be the same no matter what you say. I'm probably the only one. I go to the emergency room and they say, how you doing? I'm like, I've never been better in my life. They say, you do know you're in an emergency room, right? Yeah. You do, you know, you came by ambulance. Yeah, I got here faster. Okay. And they walk away going like this, just shaking their head. But that centurion, I believe, was spending time with God, spending time learning about Jesus. He was attending to the word that he, now I don't know how much word he had, but whatever he had, he was attending to it. He was acting like he believed it. And one thing that we want to believe is in Hebrews, where it says Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. The Message Bible, oh, I like the way the Message Bible says this. It says, for Jesus doesn't change. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, he's always totally himself. He's always totally the Son of God, the Son of the living God. He's always totally the Christ, always. And all we have to do is what it says in Proverbs 20 and 22, and this is in the Message Bible. Listen well to my words. Tune your ears to my voice. Keep my message in plain view at all times. Concentrate. Learn it by heart. Those who discover these words live, really live, body and soul. They're bursting with health. How many of you want to be bursting with health? Bursting with it. Well, you got the formula now. You have one of the formulas. Or I say you have the prescription. Fill the prescription. Take your meds. Apply to meditate in the word day and night. Apply the word to your life. Do what the word says. Because when you do what the word says, you'll find that you'll have everything it says. Amen. Amen.